just want to read just one verse, very powerful verse. Tells a little story of how to get from here to heaven. That's in John's Gospel, chapter 10. Verse 9. These are the words of Christ. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And God will bless the reading of his precious word. There was a preacher in Scotland years ago. He's very famous there and around the world too by Christians. His name is Robert Murray McShane. And he was in a town having a gospel campaign. Thank you. He was preaching nightly. And there was a young man coming who wanted God's salvation. He wanted peace. He wanted assurance of heaven. His life had no purpose or meaning. And he was searching. And he came night after night, but he could not seem to understand the simplicity that is in Christ. And the meetings were nearing a close. He still kept coming. On this particular night, Robert Murray McShane was preaching on this particular verse, I am the door. He'd spoken on it twice before, the week before. Christ Jesus saying, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And as he was preaching, the young man's countenance changed. And Mr. McShane could sense that God had opened his eyes and caused him to see. And he was saved. So after the meeting, the young man approached Robert Murray McShane. And he didn't ask him if he was born again. It was obvious that he was. Because joy flooded his soul, as with everyone who comes to Christ. All he said to him was, how did you get it? He said, you know, Mr. McShane, every single night I have been trying to get into heaven through the saints' door. I thought I had to become good enough for God to accept me. But tonight, God opened my eyes and made me realize that it's a sinner's door. And that's what I am. I'm a sinner. A helpless, hopeless sinner. And I went in through that door tonight. I accepted Christ as my Savior. That young man's story, many a person could tell. We think, naturally we think, the way to heaven is by being good, going to church and doing our best and so on. And the devil is very happy to keep us in that state. But the truth is, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only door to heaven. And it's for sinners only. And that's the place that we have to get to in order to understand why Christ died on the cross. He died for sin. My sin. Sin is the great problem. The older people get, the more confusing life becomes. And they wonder why all the problems in their lives personally, and why all the problems in the world. And it all comes down to that one word, sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, we read in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 that the Father actually made his Son holy, harmless, undefiled. He was sinless. And because he was sinless, he could take our place on the cross. And the Father laid his sins, our sins, on Christ. And it actually says that he made him to be sin. I confess I cannot enter into that. But he made his lovely Son to be sin. And it says, who knew no sin, just so we understand, he knew no sin, that we, whosoever will, might be made the righteousness of God in him. We need to be made righteous. There's not one person here in this room who can enter heaven without having God's righteousness ascribed to them, a robe of righteousness. We can't earn that righteousness. It's provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I humble myself and understand that I have no hope of getting into heaven on my own, that's when I'll come to Christ. May God bless you this morning. If you've been living your life alone, if you haven't had a shepherd, if you haven't had that wonderful friend, if you haven't had Jesus Christ living inside of you, may this morning God speak to your heart and open your eyes to see the simplicity of this gospel message. You see how simple he made it. A door. We all know what a door is. This great, high, and lofty truth. How does a sinner get into God's heaven? And the Lord Jesus said, I'll tell you how. I am the door, the only door to heaven. And by me, if any person enters in, I come. I believe the promise of God. I believe he died for me. I enter in through the door, thanking the Lord Jesus Christ for my sin. Having turned from my sin, what does he say? He or she shall be saved. Not might be saved. Shall be saved. And I love to tell people I'm as sure of heaven as though I was already there. Because I believe the promise of God. And that is how we're saved, by faith. By faith in God's word. And by faith in believing what God proclaims, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, for my sins. It's personal. And you are here this morning by divine appointment. God has brought you here on this very morning because he loves you. And all your life, he has been seeking you that you might become his. He does not want to banish you from his presence because you died in your sins. He takes no pleasure in the death of those who die in their sins. And if you're not saved, that means you're not in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, then you are in trouble because you are in sin. And it is this very morning, you're in the right place at the right time. You can be saved as you sit in your seat. It's a very simple message. In Matthew 9:13, he said, I am not come to call the righteous, those who think they're good enough for heaven, but sinners to repentance. And it's only those who realize that they have no acceptable righteousness before God and the seriousness of this condition who will repent. And repent means change my mind. I take sides with God against myself. I thought I was okay. I believed that for 30 years of my life. I really did. I thought, well, God knows me and I'm not such a bad person. And surely he'll take me into heaven. Surely I'm not bad enough for hell. And then the gospel was shared with me. And who can argue with the word of God? There it is, plain. There is none righteous. No, not one. Romans 3:10. God makes very simple, plain, and powerful statements that we understand. We have to understand that it's sinners that he came to call. Samuel Rutherford was an English merchant, and he visited Scotland in the year 1650, and on his return, his friend asked him what he'd heard. And he said, rare things. I heard rare things. I went to St. Andrews, the place in Scotland, where I heard a majestic-looking man named Blair, and he showed me the majesty of God. After him, a little fair man named Rutherford, he showed me the loveliness of Christ. And I enjoyed thoroughly hearing that message. And lastly, I went to a place called Irvine. And I went into a little building where an old man was preaching. And that man showed me my own heart. And that is what God is seeking to do in the preaching of the gospel, is to show us our own hearts. Our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. In Mark chapter 5, I think it's verses 21, 22, the Lord Jesus said, sin comes from within a man, from his heart. And he lists terrible, terrible sins. And there's 13 of them. I do believe that's why people think that's an unlucky number. That's just a superstition. 13 terrible things proceed from our hearts. We are not the kind of person that I think I am. We're not. And God wants us to understand that. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, he sums up the great problem and says that our sins separate us from God. And that's why I don't pray. That's why you don't pray. That's why you don't read the scriptures. That's why you don't love the Lord Jesus. How can you love someone that you don't know? And you can never know him until you see your need of him. He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the only door to heaven. I'm the only door. And you must enter in. And he says, thou shalt be saved. Someone wrote, when I behold thee, Lamb of God, beneath my sin's tremendous load, expiring on the accursed tree, how great my guilt with grief I see. My guilt, my sin. May God bless you this morning that you understand. He wants to awaken you out of your sleep, that you understand that you are in your sin, and he wants to deliver you this morning. How serious is it to die in one's sins? The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 8, he said simply, if you die in your sins, if you've never come to me for forgiveness of your sins, he said, whither I go, and we know where he went, he's at the right hand of the majesty on high. He said, you cannot come. You often hear people say it's a matter of interpretation. You see it this way, and we see it that way. But the Lord Jesus Christ spoke very plainly and clearly. He made that very simple, didn't he? You're either in sin or you're in me. You've turned from sin to righteousness. You've turned from the power of Satan unto God, from darkness to light, that you might receive forgiveness of sins. And if you do not turn from going your own way, then you shall die in your sins. Nobody's fault but my own fault, your own fault. And he solemnly says, whither I go, it is impossible for you to go. And he must say, at the conclusion, when you stand before him at the great white throne judgment, he must say to you, depart from me. And he gives the reason, I never knew you. I never had a personal connection with you. And why didn't you know him? Because you didn't want to know him. That's why. He's done everything that needs to be done. Getting to first base, as they say, in salvation, is to understand my condition, that I'm a sinner. There was a World Series, I'm not sure where it was, in baseball. I'd like to find out more of the details, but it's a true story. The best of seven, as we probably know. It was a final game, and it was played in the stadium of a home team. And it's one of those very tense and dramatic situations. And the home team's down by a run. And there's a runner on base and a man at the plate. And there's two out. And so the crowd is like holding their breath. They want so much for their team to win the World Series. And this man swung a mighty swing. And he connected with the ball. And out of the ballpark it went. That meant they won the World Series. And he rounded the bases in triumph. And as he came to home plate, the umpire said to him, "You are out." And a hush just fell over that whole stadium. And he told him why. "You didn't touch first base. See, in baseball, you've got to touch all the bases as you go around. Then you go home." He didn't touch first base. And the reason many, a multitude will not be in heaven is because they never get to first base. And first base is to understand, "God, I agree with you. I know what I am. I'm no better than anyone else. I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful woman." It's a sinner's door, and it's a sovereign door. To think of the person who spoke these words. The Bible tells us that everything we see was created by Him. Nothing was made that was not made by Him. He spoke everything into existence. Omnipotent, all-powerful Lord Jesus Christ. And He humbled Himself and came down from the glory and became a man. But how unique was this man? They knew there was something different about this man. John chapter 2. He sees in the synagogue, and there are men in there making money. It's the Passover. And they're selling sheep and animals for sacrifice and changing currency. And he calmly sat down. And he made a scourge out of cords. Very calmly. Now he was dressed in the garb of a poor man. He was brought up in a poor family. He had no home of his own. He had no possessions of his own. But he walked into that synagogue. And he upturned the tables. If you can picture him doing this. Upturned the tables. And he drove them with that whip out. And he said, "You shall not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. It is a house of prayer." And you know, we don't read of one person saying anything to him. Nothing. Because they knew. They all knew. There's something different. This man is unique. And when he walked with majesty. And when he spoke, they said he spoke with authority. Not as the scribes and Pharisees spoke in their dry traditional teachings from the Jewish religion. They knew. It's a sovereign door. He was called Emmanuel because Emmanuel means God with us. Isn't that a lovely thing? We can scarcely take that in. He was God, manifested in the flesh. You see the great lengths God has gone to save us from our sins and to bring us home to glory. He became a man, Emmanuel. John 1:14 tells us plainly that he was made, he became flesh, dwelt among us. And John says, "We beheld his glory." Someone wrote, "Like man he walked, like God he talked." His words were oracles, his works were miracles. Of God, the true expression. Of man, the finest specimen. Full-orbed humanity, crowned with deity. No taint of iniquity. No trace of infirmity. Behold the man. Behold thy God, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail incarnate deity. This is the one with whom we have to do. God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He took our place, and there's an amazing statement made by Isaiah. Back in chapter 32, 7 centuries before he came, Isaiah said this, "And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." What an amazing statement is that? A man. You see, it's not a particular church or denomination or a particular religion. The Bible is about a man. And that man is Jesus Christ. And he's the hiding place. And we must get to Christ. You must get to Christ. And hide yourself in him. And he's waiting with open arms to receive you. And protect you. No condemnation. No judgment for you. When I'm in Christ. There was a North American Indian. They just called him Indian Joe. They didn't know his name. And on one occasion, there was a fire raging on the Sierra Madre mountain range. And he thought he'd go up and take a look. Well, what he didn't realize, how the wind was shifting. And as he got up there, he realized that he was being encircled by the flames. And he was trapped. He took the saddle off his horse and gave it a good slap on the rump, and he hoped his horse would make it to safety. He didn't know what to do. He's standing looking around and he sees a rock. And underneath the rock, there was like a cleft in the rock, like a hole. And he went and crawled inside there and crouched inside the rock. And the flames came. He could feel the heat. He could see the flames. But they passed over him. And when he got out, when all was quiet and the land was all blackened, he looked at that rock. Scarred and blackened with a fire, and there he stood, safe, unharmed. And that is a little illustration of what Christ is. He's the man, he's the hiding place, and God's judgment for sin fell on his son, scarred, wounds in his hands and feet and side. And the Father, God, in his holiness, punished his Son. And fire speaks of judgment. And the Lord Jesus said prophetically in Lamentations from the mouth of Jeremiah, "From above hath he poured fire into my bones, and it prevailed against them." It was the day of God's fierce anger. Now that Indian escaped harm because he was a wise man. He hid himself in the rock. And Jesus Christ is the only safe hiding place for a sinner. It's a sovereign door. It's a singular door. He didn't say, "I am a door." In Noah's Ark, we have a picture in the Old Testament. One door. Just one. And God stood inside that door. Judgment was coming. The 120 years were up. And he was going to judge the sinful world who had no time for God. They didn't listen to Noah's preaching. The only safe place to be was that ark. And he stood inside the ark in chapter 7 and he said to Noah, "Come thou into the ark." God was inside the ark. And he went in with his wife. His three sons and their wives, and that is all. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 7, "Few there be that find it." And we have there an example of how many. How many were saved out of that whole generation, a multitude of people, 8 people. I do hope you're listening. I hope you're listening this morning. Because you must be born again. You need Jesus Christ. You need him to be in heaven. You need him to have life down here. And he made it perfectly clear, didn't he? When he came, he told us why he came. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And we're born lost to God. So what is this world all about? It is the Lord Jesus Christ seeking sinners, seeking to get our attention, that we might understand life is solemn, very solemn. We can leave at any time, unknown to us, here today, as they say, and gone tomorrow. And how many people today have died, are dying, will die, who had no idea that this was their last day on earth? That's why when the gospel is preached, it's preached with a sense of urgency. Come now, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. God wants you to come to him this morning. A singular door. The Earl of Kintore, he was a British nobleman. He loved the Lord, knew the Lord, very blunt manner with people, but he was sincere and he loved the Lord, a man of deep piety. He had some guests over for dinner and there were three clergymen there. And a debate came up and a discussion about the Bible after the dinner. And the Earl of Kintore listened to what they had to say. And when they were done, he pointed to one. And he said, "You, sir, have spoken much about she, the church, and what she teaches. And you, sir," the second man, he said, "you have spoken much about it, the doctrine." He said, "But this man has spoken much about him, himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I confess, I like what he had to say the best." It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. You wonder what life is all about? It's about getting connected with the Lord Jesus Christ. 2,000 years. How long suffering is this great God of ours? Singular door. A singular door. One door. John 14:6, he said, "I." Imagine him saying this now. "A man. I am the way. I'm the way to heaven." Have you been wondering how to be saved? I hope you're listening. I am the way, the truth, the only truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Abundant life here and eternal life. And then he made it perfectly clear. No man, no woman cometh unto the Father but by me. So the question you must ask yourself is, have you ever humbled yourself at the feet of Christ and turned your life over to him? That's what he wants. He wants you. He wants your person, all of you. He wants your love. He will not force you to come to him. But he longs for you to come to him. He's done everything. He suffered. He died on the cross. 3 hours of darkness. We have no idea of the agony that he went through for you and for me, being punished for our sins. And he's calling you. He loves you. But you must come to him. It's our responsibility, your responsibility, to come to him. And how tragic that so few in this world want anything to do with him. It was a German couple. She was having a baby. And in the room, while she was waiting to go in to have her baby delivered, there was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one knows what he looked like. Some speculate. So there's a portrait. And she said to the nurse, "I want the picture of that Jew taken down." She said, "I have no authority to do that." She said, "Well, let me speak to somebody who has authority." So someone came in and said, "I want that picture taken down. I don't want that Jew staring me in the face." He said, "I have no authority to do that." She said, "Well, my husband comes in. He's an army officer. He'll make sure it's taken down." And he came in a few hours later. And he's standing speaking to the administrator of the hospital. And he said, "I want that picture taken down. I do not want my child to lay eyes to see that face, the face of that Jew." And as he's speaking, the nurse came in and said, "Sir, your wife delivered a baby boy.
But I'm sad to tell you, he was born hopelessly blind. And his son would never see that face. And those in this world who will not turn from going their own way will never see his face as we as God's people look forward to seeing. We shall see his face, the blessed face of the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith we see him now. We see Jesus by faith, the eye of faith. And you can see him too, if it's your desire. We trust it is. We trust that's why you've come this morning to hear the truth. And it's a saving door. Shall be saved. Isn't that a marvelous statement? People hoping to go to heaven, lying on a deathbed, hoping and hoping and hoping, terrified of leaving their body, going out into eternity. But not those who know Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ has already proclaimed saved, in a saved state of being. You can't get unsaved. You can't get unborn. It's a one-time repentance from sin. Salvation's repentance. A wholehearted turning and an embracing of Jesus Christ. And I give myself wholeheartedly to him. And I mean what I say. Not my will anymore. I've been living my life, I confess, for me. And doing those things which are right in my own eyes. I've not consulted the Bible. I've been seeking all my life to bring pleasure to my heart. I've never even thought of bringing pleasure to your heart, Lord Jesus. But today I come. O Lamb of God, I come just as I am. And I believe. With all my heart, I believe you died for me because the Bible proclaims it. And if you say, I believe on you and trust you as my Savior, that I am saved, then I thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. I'm saved. And people will say to you, how do you know you're saved? And we'll say, and you'll say, because the Bible says so. God says so. I got to the place in my life where I didn't like the face I saw in the mirror. That's the place God seeks to bring you to. I wanted to become a man of God. I did. With all my heart, I did. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired of my life. I don't know about you, but that's the place God seeks to bring you to. Wit's end. A man said that to a Christian, I'm at my wit's end. He said, that's good. That's where you find God. At your wit's end. You come to the end of yourself. I don't know where to turn. Ah, you turn to him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. This is the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. That's Isaiah 53 and 6. All we like sheep. Every one of us, gone astray, turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Without Christ, Ephesians 3, having no hope, and without God in the world. The only saving door is Jesus Christ. Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven, given to men, whereby we must be saved, is that blessed name, the Lord Jesus Christ. A lady said to a preacher one time, I don't think he won't accept me. I don't think he'll accept me. And the preacher said, no, he never will accept you. And she looked rather taken aback by his statement. But he said, he has accepted his son. And his death on the cross for you. And he'll accept you in Christ. That is the only way to find acceptance in God's sight. Is to identify yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel Webster, America's one of the best known statesmen and orators and so on. He was a very famous man.
And somebody asked him one time, what was the greatest thought that ever occupied his mind? And he didn't hesitate. He said this, the sense of my individual responsibility to God. The sense of my own, your own responsibility to God. When you die all alone. And if you've never turned to Christ, my friend, all eternity you'll regret. You will regret that you didn't come to Him. It is a sinner's door, sinners only, sovereign door, singular door. It's a saving door, and it is a satisfying door. You want to be satisfied? That's what people are looking for. Looking everything under the sun to be satisfied, to be content and have peace. And nobody has any peace. No one. Only those who know Christ. I saw a sign in a door visiting with calendars in December. Rather presumptuous, I thought, but the sign said, all who enter are blessed. Well, maybe they are blessed in that home, I don't know. But all who enter this door are blessed. 30 years of my life, I've been in Christ, and He's kept me satisfied. And every Christian in this room will attest to the same fact. He keeps His own, happy and joyful on their way to glory without anything else required. A lady was convicted. She saw the faces of the Christians. After the meeting, I had a similar experience. And she said, you know, I think you people have something that I've been looking for. And he said, no, ma'am, it's not something. It's someone. And he had the joy of pointing that woman to Christ. That's what's been missing in your life. Someone. There's like a hole in our heart. It's God-shaped. We try and fill it with all these things around us, and it doesn't work. It won't fit. Only Christ. Christ satisfies. Christ gives peace. He knows what He said, in and out and find pasture in this dry and thirsty land called earth, where nothing satisfies. You can go in and out and find pasture. I don't know what the sign was doing in a hotel, but I saw it in Portland, Maine. It just said this, go in, go out, get on with your life. That's the truth. You don't even have life. You don't have life right now. Do you understand? I hope you understand. If you've not been born again, if you could not come up here and tell a story of when you came to Christ, you have no life. You have physical life, but you cannot say like the Apostle Paul, Christ liveth in me, because you don't know Christ. And it is vital. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye must be born again. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. He's no respecter of persons. You might think, well, I'm not such a bad person. God says, yes, you are. We're all the same. I mightn't do a lot of bad things, but I'm stained with sin, and a sinner needs a Savior. You've got to get to Christ. And when you get to Christ, that's when you'll find the secret of life. The key that unlocks the mystery of life is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He floods your soul with peace and joy and love. And power to live a life pleasing unto Him. Your life now has meaning. Your life has purpose. And you're not hoping to go to heaven. You know. The Apostle John said in 1 John 5:13, I've written these things unto you, which believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye may know something. I want you to know something. You have eternal life. Eternal life. Everlasting life. If it ceased for one split second, it wasn't everlasting. And God says, those who come to my Son have it now.
everlasting life, a satisfying door. And just finally, a sobering thought, it's a separating door. One day it's going to close. You know, in Noah's Ark, Noah didn't close the door. It says God shut them in. One day, the door is going to be closed. People think that life is just going to keep going on and on the way it has. But it's not. I hope you're listening well. One of these days, I know what day is coming back. Any day. He may come back today. And my friend, when he comes back, and if you're not saved, just think about that. You sat in a gospel meeting. You heard the voice of God calling you, and you left the building without Christ. And now the door's closed. And you're banished from his presence in an eternal prison house, weeping and wailing and lamenting, why, oh, why didn't I come to Christ? Why didn't I listen? Why didn't I come? It doesn't have to be. And we're speaking reality now from this platform. We're speaking, thus saith the Lord. This is the truth. And we must receive the truth in our hearts and agree with God. It's a separating door. You've got to get in before it closes. And there was a man in closing who was brought up in the gospel, Sunday school, heard gospel meetings and so on, but left home, university, out to work, good job, good pay, and all the things this life has down here, and he's forgotten all about God. But how marvelous, God doesn't forget about us. He was still dealing with that man. And one morning he's coming to take the ferry just across a short bay to work. And he was late. He's hurrying, foot on the gas pedal, and just as he got there, the doors closed in the ferry. It was no big deal. He's going to be 20 minutes late for work. He was the boss, so it didn't matter anyway to him. But a verse came to his mind. The Holy Spirit, like an arrow, sent a verse to that man. Matthew 25. And the door was shut. Just as audible to him inside as though God was speaking to him. That door is the door to heaven. When the last soul is saved, the church is complete, and the door is shut. No more gospel, no more call. And he couldn't get it out of his mind. And the door was shut. He thought, if that was the door to heaven, I'd be lost for all eternity. And all the way across the ferry, all the way up the stairs to his office, and the door was shut, and the door was shut. Well, he shut the door to his office, and he told his secretary no phone calls, and he got down on his knees, and he wept like a baby. You know why he wept? Because he had been running away from God for about 20 years of his life, and God never gave up on him. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And through his tears he cried out, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in you. I receive you as my Savior. And that's why we're here. Why are we here? We're here to be saved. God said, I will build my church. The Lord Jesus said that in Gospel of Matthew chapter 16. He's building a church made up of living stones, sinners, just like us, saved by grace. And when that last soul is saved, that door will separate the multitude from those inside, sitting down, those who have rested in the work of Christ. May God bless you this morning. We want you to know, on the authority of God's word, that he loves you, and you're in great trouble right now. You are, if you're not saved and you're in your sins. May God bless you. May he shake up your life, because you need to be saved. Eternity is coming. Christ is coming. God bless you. We'll pray. Father in heaven, we give thee thanks for that wonderful name, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, gracious God, for what he's done on our behalf. Many of us in this room are thine. We are the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And we rejoice in salvation's day. And Father, for those in this room who have not yet come to their wits' end, who have not yet seen themselves as they are seen by thee, we beseech thee, Father, open their eyes this morning. May this be the day of days when they finally turn with all their heart to thy lovely Son and embrace him as their own. Salvation is of the Lord. We acknowledge this, Father. We thank thee we're privileged to proclaim this glorious message. And we've done so, and we ask thy blessing in the name and for his ultimate honor and glory, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.